Some years ago, I began writing a book recollecting these and other events that brought me to Krishna consciousness. I was reminded of how Krishna had rolled out the red carpet for me. Coming to your lotus feet had practically been effortless, and it seemed that every event in my life had prepared me to accept you as my spiritual master. With the deepest gratitude, I reflect daily on the value of your service in my life. Like many youths of the 60s, I was looking for meaning in life, and I hadn't found it until I met you, at which point everything changed. Had I not met you, my life would have been a series of disappointments and frustrations. Whether the service you give me is enjoyable or austere, whether it brings rewards or problems, it is always sweet and pleasing, like morning dew. I therefore thank you both for making it so easy for me to come to your lotus feet and for allowing me to continue serving you to this day. As you wrote to Lord Krishna when you arrived in Boston, I guess you must have some business here since you brought me to this terrible place. I also sense you must have some business for me since you made so many arrangements to pull me out of material life and keep me engaged in your service. My prayer is that you reveal to me how I can best do this and that you engage me eternally in your service. Your service is my life, your aspiring servant, Mahatma Das. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Ranga Bhatti, you want to come? Then we'll be followed by Dhruva Maharaj.
Good morning to the beautiful assembly of devotees. I feel very significant in this movement because of so many of my God brothers and God sisters and the other followers of Srila Prabhupada have allowed this 50 years to be filled with all the statistics that Manjini has calculated and shared with us this morning. And that comes at a very high price, both personally and collectively, as Mahatma was saying, the craziness from the beginning, and the age that's upon us, and being very, very new to all these things that Srila Prabhupada presented to us. So I am very humbled in all of their presence, and I hope to continue to be that way. There's a little paragraph or two that I wrote. Dear Srila Prabhupada, my only hope in this world of darkness and death is you. As I sit in my MVT room in beautiful Vrindavan, I see your presence everywhere. You have given so many conditioned souls the choice and privilege to follow your teachings and instructions, both which carry a guarantee if carefully practiced with love and devotion. Old age and its challenges are what you have warned us about from the very beginning of your preaching in America. And now that is becoming a stone cold reality, your words sink deeper and deeper. The message of Lord Krishna in the Gita seems to walk off the pages and stare me down, causing a quiet kind of humility and submissiveness to his words. We are eternal souls residing in this temporary body, separate and not equal. Let this absolute truth be set in stone in my heart and in my mind. Let your kindness and compassion seep into my spiritual progress. O Divine Guru, you are what I am made of, and although I am fallen and forgotten, I pray at your lotus feet to keep anyone, keep me near you in any way possible for all of eternity, your aspiring servant, Srila Prabhupada.
So, following Dhruva Maharaj, Vishambhara and Jai Sri are going to make a presentation about the school.
Is it in here? Hey, Shiva. I give him. I do both. I have a written one, but I also have an electronic one. At this time, we have to have both because sometimes it doesn't work. But we're only a few minutes, so do you have it together? Okay. Yes, please. This is a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave that sort of imbibes his attitude, his appreciation of how Krishna arranged his meeting and following of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's a lecture that he gave on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day. And then I put like a presentation together and took specific parts of it and put it together in a short presentation. No? I'll read my other one. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavada Prasthapitarati Shikarani. This year we conducted an online e-course of Janmashtami meditation. And while studying the advent of Lord Krishna more closely than I had ever done before, I was amazed to learn of many references to some of the personalities' previous lives. The first was in relation to Lord Vishnu's message to the demigods when they approached him due to Mother Bhumi's request for help. Lord Vishnu declared that due to their previous pious actions, the wives of the demigods, known as Sura-stri, should take birth on earth in the Yadu dynasty to enact pastimes with Lord Krishna when he descended, either in Vrindavan, Mathura, or Dwarka. Then after those pastimes were complete, they would return home, back to Godhead. The next reference was the six sons of Devaki killed by Kamsa. The Harivamsa reveals that these six boys were previously grandsons of Hiranyakasipu, but they performed austerities and penances to please Lord Brahma. Infuriated with their lack of respect toward him, Hiranyakasipu cursed them to be killed by Kamsa in their next life, who in his previous life was their father, the demon named Kalanemi. Next, when Lord Vishnu actually appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he explained to both Vasudeva and Devaki that in their previous lives, they were Prishni and Sutapa, a married couple who performed great penances and austerities to get the Lord as their son. Lord Vishnu further explained that he not only appeared once as their son, but again as Lord Vamanadeva when they appeared as Kasyapa and Aditi, and finally, as a third appearance, as Vasudeva and Devaki. Hearing these descriptions, I naturally wondered about my own sojourn through different lifetimes, as well as all the devotees who are taking to Krishna consciousness around the entire world. According to Vedic philosophy, we must have all performed some sort of unique activities in previous lives, so that in this life we've been benedicted to come in contact with His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead explains in Bhagavad Gita, O son of Prita, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Or he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly, such a birth is rare in this world. On taking birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. It is clear that all these arrangements are under the inconceivable control of Lord Krishna, or in this age, Lord Chaitanya. For we are so tiny and insignificant, we cannot possibly understand how these are being orchestrated. I pray on this auspicious occasion of celebrating Srila Prabhupada's appearance that he continues to bestow his blessings upon all of us, and that in return, we remain steadfast and vigilant to carry out his divine instructions.
శ్రీ 89 96 మొత్తనాథ్ ఠాకూర్
Hare Krishna. So at Bhaktivedanta Academy, we're taking the opportunity of Srila Prabhupada's 50th anniversary of his arrival here in America as a way to use it as a catalyst for connecting our students even closer to Srila Prabhupada. And one of the efforts that we undertook this year was to actually create a Vyasa Puja book for Srila Prabhupada. And this is actually spearheaded by Jai Shirade. She got all the offerings together. All the teachers got their students to write. They got them all together, laminated. We bound the book. I'd like to thank my neighbor, Brajabhumi, for doing the binding on this for us. And it's a when I had the opportunity to look at it and actually go through and read these offerings, very much like Seshal Prabhu was saying earlier today, we have a responsibility. We feel a deep responsibility to try to fan this flame of bhakti or devotion. And it comes through here. And in many ways, I feel just honored to have the opportunity to be able to present this, our students' offerings to Srila Prabhupada. We're going to do this in two parts. There's 88 different offerings here, so we're not going to read them all. But well, we just selected a few, and frankly, that was the hardest job of all, was picking which ones to read. But we did want to have the book on Prabhupada's Vyasa San here. We're going to secure it somehow. So throughout the day, we encourage you to go through and just kind of look. There's some beautiful pictures and different things that the students have done here. And so we invite you to take a look at it. I'm just going to read a brief introduction to the Vyasa Puja book, and then I'm going to ask Jai Shirade to read some of the selections. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. On behalf of the teachers, staff, and students at Bhaktivedanta Academy, I present to you our 2015 Vyasa Puja offering book. It is the first of what I hope are many such books to come. Our Vyasa Puja book is a compilation of offerings from our students, 88 unique expressions from some very special souls. They range in ages from as young as 3 years old to our eldest, who are just entering their first year of high school. One thing that they all have in common is a special place held in their hearts for you and the sacrifices you made to enrich their lives. This book is an offering of pure love and appreciation from the rare personalities you have given us the opportunity to teach. Through teaching them, we are the ones who are being taught. Our faith and commitment is strengthened by seeing how much they value what you have given. It is a privilege to have this opportunity to serve as their teachers. And we pray for your blessings to continue to serve in this way for many years to come. We can only imagine the delight that would come across your face if you were personally present to receive and read this book. We hope you enjoy our humble offering, your aspiring servants at Bhaktivedanta Academy.
Srila Prabhupada, it's my privilege to be part of Bhaktivedanta Academy. Thank you so much for engaging us in your service. We'll start with Bhakti Bhavan, ages 3 to 6. I love Srila Prabhupada because I like him. He is nice to the devotees. I like his books because he spreads the holy names of Godhead. When I was at the temple, I got flowers for him. Because he's at the temple, he just loves Krishna. I like him because I like lots about him. I love him because he's happy. He has tilak on and he is laughing. I would like a hug. He's pretty and he's awesome and I like him. I love him because he has tilak and I like how he smiles. Because my dad's name is Abai and Prabhupada, when he was a kid, his name was Abai. Because he takes care of Krishna. Because he makes books for us that we can read. Because he's at the temple every day. Because I like his smile and I like that he's a very good devotee of Krishna and his chair is nice. Which seems really appropriate today with the offering. Next is Adarya Bhavan. This is first through third grade. Again, this was very hard to choose. I hope you all get a chance to look at the
the book, we chose to keep all the names anonymous to protect the identities of the children. Dear Srila Prabhupada, I love you so much. Even when you went through so much difficulties, you still did not give up just for us. I appreciate you so much. Only because of you, we are Krishna conscious. We will be wandering around if you did not come to this world. Thank you so much. There's a lot, sir. See all these tabs? Dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you for spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. You are so kind to everyone. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your dedication and sacrifice. Dear Srila Prabhupada, thanks for bringing ISKCON to America. I also thank you for inspiring all the devotees and giving us so many nice quotes. My favorite one is, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. But everything plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. I also like the quote, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. I found both these quotes very helpful. I thank you for everything you have done. Yeah, that's very good. Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry, this is 4th through 6th grade. I offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. We are so grateful that you came to the West. Thank you so much. Please let me serve you by distributing your books and by chanting. I would really like to be a better person and devotee each day by chanting and being good to the world around me. Thank you for making this world a better place. Dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you for sharing Krishna consciousness with us. I don't know what any of us would have done if you had never come to the West. It changed our lives. You went through 30 days across the ocean while suffering 2 heart attacks and with only $2 to spread Krishna's holy names to us, which is amazing. Your books inspire all of us so much. I am still in the process of reading one of your books. It makes me realize that I've never even thought of, realize things I've never even thought of before. I would love to help you with your mission by distributing as many books as I can and to preach Krishna consciousness and by being a vegetarian. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for coming across to America to sell books and start ISKCON. Devotees have spread around the world. You have taught our ignorant minds how to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Not just our minds, but our hearts too. You are like a star, so small from far away, but large and beautiful when it's up close. Krishna is like the sun, and you are its rays. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you had not come, my heart is filled with gratitude. To America, you've come. Stalling Kali Yuga, think of things you've done. Dancing, chanting, preaching, prasadam and disciples. So many things have happened since you built these temples. I would not have been here chanting Krishna's names. What would I have known about his glories and his fame? Can you even imagine not seeing Krishna's form? What would we have done if you had not been born? America would be disastrous. No Rath Yatras or Kirtan. I would not have heard the holy names. Think about the Sankirtan. What would have happened if you had not come? Where would we have been? What would we have done? Dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you for being so determined to bring Krishna consciousness to the West, even after all the hardships that came along your trip to the Jaladuta. You're such an inspiration to me and many other people. I've been trying to help your mission by leading kirtans and going on Harinam. I've enjoyed distributing books for the book marathon. We raised over 100 books. The entire time I was giving out the books, I was thinking of you writing all the books in English so that your devotees could learn pastimes of Krishna. You are such an amazing person, and I am glad that you are a big part of my life. I could never thank you enough. I wish I could be with you forever and always. Dear Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you are our savior. You taught us the right behavior. You saved us from this dark age. You truly are an amazing sage. They asked me what I would say if I were to speak to you today. The words are certainly too few, but at least I can say thank you. Braving stormy seas and austerities, you still came. The evils of Kali, you did tame. You even gave us the Maha Mantra and showed us how to do Rath Yatra. You established 108 temples, prasadam, deity, service, and bells. Where would we be without you? Definitely somewhere in the blue. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for everything. And the final class is Krishna Sharanam, and that's our 7th through 9th grade class. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. This is the 50th year of your arrival in America, and we, the devotees, are submerging ourselves in your loving memory. Every day we see signs of your spirit in our temple, at our school, in our classmates' faces, all of whom are your followers. At home, we see our deities and our parents worshiping them, following your footsteps. We remember your compassion. Anyone from anywhere can take shelter of you and know with certainty that you guide them to Krishna's lotus feet. You are so compassionate that you came looking for us fallen, lowly souls to guide us straight home back to Godhead. We remember your bravery. You came to America leaving behind safety and comfort. Even two heart attacks could not sway your determination. Who else would have been so brave? I think Krishna himself must have carried you over the ocean, holding you with his lotus hands. We, your followers, especially remember your kindness and the ways in which you empower us. Patiently, kindly, gently, and somewhat stubbornly, you take our hand and hand us the express pass to love Krishna. Thanks to you, we feel a connection to our whole devotee community, which wouldn't exist if you hadn't come to bring us together. You are instilling in us a deep faith and devotion in Krishna through our devotion to you. This faith grows stronger because you are always watching over us and guiding us. I will be eternally grateful to you and the compassion that you have brought to the United States to deliver the fallen souls. Without the gift of your books about Krishna and your exemplary devotion to him, my life would surely be meaningless. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. First, I would like to thank you so much for preaching in the West. If not for your preaching, I wouldn't be here today. And there would be so much about Krishna that I wouldn't understand. You have so many great qualities. You are humorous, fearless, humble, compassionate, intelligent, knowledgeable, perceptive, understanding, pure, focused, empowered, and so very Krishna conscious in all situations. I want to show you my gratitude with this small offering and thank you for steering me in the right direction. For this, I will always be gratefully indebted to you. Srila Prabhupada, as a child growing up in ISKCON, we are taught about your mission, qualities, and greatness. I now think I understand it. Since I was not in this body when you were on the planet, I never got to meet you. But when I see your disciples talk about you, how their faces seem to glow, how even a small moment they experience with you seems as though they were with you for hours and hours. You came here with nothing to your name but a few dollars and trunks of books just on the order of your spiritual master and the love for God. You went through so much for what? To spread the holy name to some young boys and girls who are doing the most terrible things. There were so many who told you it was impossible, and yet you still came. Thank you. You saved the world from being engulfed in the swirling ocean of Maya. You were the light in the ocean of darkness. You led the way, never afraid, always safe in the lap of Krishna. My dear Srila Prabhupada, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. With your love, devotion, and strength, you made your way here to spread the holy name. You had a vision, and you took a large risk to complete it. Along the way, you suffered through two heart attacks and never once thought of going back. You spread the holy name, opened so many temples, and made so many devotees. You translated, wrote, and printed countless books. When I remember you, I think of the words courageous, determined, servitude, humble, knowledgeable, forgiving, and more. While traveling on Kishore Yatra, we visit so many temples and meet many devotees. It's such an amazing experience. At each place we visit, we get to do service, whether it's cleaning, cooking, chanting, dancing, performing, distributing books, or prasadam. It always makes me so happy. I would never have any of it if not for you, for bringing the holy name and making so many devotees, who in turn had children who were devotees, who became empowered by you. These devotees want to make a difference just like you. Their mission was and still is to travel, spread, and teach about you and our movement. I pray that you allow me to be able to continue to do this more as I get older. You gave us this amazing gift, and I pray that as I grow, you can help me learn more and cherish the gift even more each day. When I lay at night, I say my prayer to you and Krishna for providing me with what I have, for letting me take birth in this amazing devotee family, for letting me go to a devotional school and grow up in a wonderful community which is like a big family. I gained comfort while praying to you and Krishna to me strength during my tough time. I would not have any of this if you hadn't come. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your outstanding bravery. This one's called Lost Govinda. Glories to the Father, the Master, who brought my Lost Govinda across the sea. He who wrote, lectured, and taught the holy scriptures of the Lord, removing the darkness from our eyes, making us see, casting aside the web of falsehoods from our minds, giving us the truth, restoring our voices to sing Krishna's glories. Devotion to follow his spiritual master to distribute the greatest treasure in the world, the Bhagavad Gita. He who nurtured and spread Krishna consciousness so your white elephants can dance to the vibration of kirtan. You who have removed the clouds of ignorance from our hearts, who have lovingly, carefully brought the never-ending, unconditional love, mercy, and blooming faith of my lost and forgotten Govinda across the sea. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us the gift of the holy name, for going through so much just for us, for showing us how to serve Lord Krishna. Thank you. You put your faith in Krishna and came to the otherwise hopeless West. You have so many glories, only Krishna himself could list every single one. Your endless compassion, your unmatchable bravery, your divine knowledge, those are the qualities of a true Jagat Guru. Your methods were different with every one of your disciples. That's the name of Shankar Prabhu now. Though you are not physically with us, your legacy lives on in our hearts. You still preach through your disciples and their disciples. Some say science is the greatest gift of mankind. Science is no match for your gift, the matchless gift. Sadly, it is not possible to list everything about you. I thank you. Even if they don't know it, the world thanks you. All glories to you. The last one. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. Yeah. I would like to thank you on behalf of all the devotees for all of your hard work and determination to follow your spiritual master's instructions. As a young devotee born in this movement, I personally feel as though I don't appreciate you and the knowledge you have given us enough. The saying goes, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And that's how I feel about the Krishna consciousness movement. Whenever I speak with senior devotees or new bhaktas, they tell me how fortunate I am to have been born in a devotee family. It makes me upset and almost jealous that I can't see it. I can't appreciate and love Krishna as much as I should. I can't see the rareness of this opportunity I have been blessed with. It's really quite frustrating, but events like the Festival of the Holy Name, where everyone is engaged in devotional service, all the devotees calling out Krishna's name, chanting and dancing with so much sincerity, so much love, makes all the difference. In these moments, I feel an overwhelming sensation of bliss, gratitude, ecstasy, and happiness. That is when I realize the blessing I have. I am flawed, often blinded and confused by the material world. But moments like those are what keep me going and what keep my faith strong. Honestly, no words can even begin to describe the impact you've made, not only on my life, but on millions of devotees and potentially the whole world. You've given us a chance to be freed from the material world and its miserable cycle of happiness and distress. I can't thank you enough. I pray that you help me grow in my spiritual life and help me serve you and Krishna. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada, your servant. I just wanted to say that I've never been on the forefront of a Sankirtan party, but I feel like Bhaktivedanta Academy and the schools that are raising these Krishna conscious children are doing that same mission, because they're giving Krishna to the littlest and helping them grow and develop bhakti in their hearts. And please pray to Srila Prabhupada that all of your servants can continue to do it, and that they inspire the children in their charge to feel that urgency and responsibility to keep serving in your missions and to be of use. And I just want to say also to all the Buster kids out there, I see you. Please find a service, take it up, and do it for Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mother Agamika, you can speak. Followed by Balabhadra. Are you here? After Mother Agamika. Everyone has a service. As Jai Sri Radhe said, everyone has a service for Prabhupada. Something.
Hare Krishna. I'm going to read the short one. It's too much time back. Okay. It's just so complete. Maybe tonight. Dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my obeisances and the dust of your lotus feet. As the time factor takes its toll on this once youthful and energetic body, and I experience its concomitant pains and discomforts more and more, I appreciate more and more the magnitude of your compassionate nature. Without intense compassion, how could you, in your advanced age, embark upon fulfilling your guru's desire to spread Lord Chaitanya's message to every town and village? You truly stretched yourself beyond your comfort zone for the sake of rescuing me from my exhaustive discomfort of imitating God, your beloved Krishna. Even though I embodied envy and hate for your most beloved, still you endured such painstaking endeavor to shower causeless mercy upon me without reservation. You gave me the one thing that I could never have attained by my own endeavor for millions and millions of lifetimes, the opportunity to serve you, Krishna's intimate associate, completely freed from all vice. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. This is my only wealth, service to you and to your ISKCON. Once in Bombay, you affirmed what appeared in a dream to Tamal Krishna Goswami, wherein you were asked by the previous acharyas to make a report on your preaching mission on this planet. You reported that you had studied the people of this planet and you found that they had no capacity for any type of austerity. Nor were they very capable of studying, nor were they very pious. You then said that the only thing they were able to do was somehow take shelter of your feet. I beg that you continue to give me service at your lotus feet lifetime after lifetime, for your mercy is all that I am made of. Your indebted daughter, Dhanha.
The Balabhadra Prabhu, followed by Rupa Manjari.
Hare Bol. First of all glories to Srila Prabhupada. First of all, Srila Prabhupada, I would like to share with you a little saying that I saw, and it reminded me of you. So I'd like to start with that little saying. Attitude of gratitude. From when I first joined in 1969, when Vinodasi brought me home to you, she kept saying in our initial conversation, you have to come home and meet my spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, you were in Hawaii for the first time. So I agreed to come home and meet her spiritual master. And one thing that stuck with me throughout the day as I waited to meet her in the afternoon and go home and meet her spiritual master was how much love she expressed of you when she spoke about you, and how important it was for me to come home and meet you, her spiritual master. Over the years, in the service that you have allowed me to render to you, taking care of the cows and bulls, traveling in many countries on the planet, one thing that I have noticed everywhere that you have allowed me to go and speak about the cows and the bulls is that the love for you from the devotees is bar none of the highest caliber. Whether it's in Russia or Belarus or Ukraine or Serbia or any of these Eastern European countries that I've traveled to, the first question that I was always asked, did you meet Srila Prabhupada personally? And their faces are glowing, and their eyes are like saucers, and their ears are like, you know, elephant ears that are just, and then they would say, I would say, yes, I had a little personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And then they say, oh, can you tell us of your pastimes with Srila Prabhupada? And they're just ready to leap out of their skin, wanting to hear about you, Srila Prabhupada. You have touched their hearts. It doesn't matter whether it's in Russia or Belarus or Serbia or Latvia or Germany or England. The love that they have gotten from you has given them this attitude of gratitude towards you and your service to your Guru Maharaj in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. You have exhibited this attitude of gratitude, whether to the big book distributors or the devotees who are simply cleaning the temple. There was one story I heard many years ago. You would take your morning walks, and there were a few who were fortunate enough to go on a morning walk with you. And usually, the Matajis would stay behind and clean your room, and they knew that they had so much time and that you would be scheduled back at such and such a time. And there, this one story is about Mataji, and I don't know her name. But her service was to clean the floor. So she was the last one after everything had been tidied up in your quarters. And her service was to clean the floor, and she knew she had so much time that you were scheduled to be back at such and such a moment. So she's cleaning the floor, and she's headed towards the door, and she hears some noise outside the door. And she's thinking, she looks at her watch and says, oh, Prabhupada's not due back for another 10 minutes. And she starts getting a little nervous. She wants to see you so badly, but at the same time, she wants to be done with her service and clean your room so that you don't disturb her and come back. And the door opens, and she's met with 5 people at the door. And she said, oh, please, don't let this be Srila Prabhupada. And she looks in the opening of the door, and there's these 2 beautiful brown lotus feet. And she looks up at Srila Prabhupada. She looks up at you. And she said, and Prabhupada, you say to her, thank you very much. This was your attitude. It was an attitude of gratitude. And listening to all of you wonderful devotees giving your homages to your divine grace, this theme is running through every single one of you. It's an attitude of gratitude. Your gratitude. You're grateful to us that somehow or another we have come. Krishna has made the arrangements. We have come. We have picked up ourselves somehow by your mercy, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, by the mercy of so many wonderful devotees who are going out and distributing your books and touching the hearts of all the conditioned living entities. So this attitude of gratitude you have given us, your mercy, and the devotees are sharing that attitude of gratitude. So, first of all, I would like to say to all the assembled devotees, thank you very much for serving Srila Prabhupada. chant to you, our dear, wonderful Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for making all of this possible by distributing your attitude of gratitude. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to speak, followed by Ambarish, please.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. I feel very unfortunate that I haven't been able to perform any significant devotional service to you. And my only service has been able to come to the building of your ISKCON temples, which are still open 50 years after you started ISKCON. I do not know in the next 50 years if I would still be in your ISKCON or even make it through the doors. This year, I had the great fortune to attend the 40th anniversary of the Krishna Balaram Mandir with hundreds of your disciples. I had a little service welcoming the guests. Even today, out of the thousands of devotees here in Alachua, only a few make it to see you in your ISKCON temple for your Vyasa Puja, while the majority are on the internet, on Facebook, a social media that connects 1 billion people. Hundreds of your second generation devotees spend hours on Facebook preaching Krishna consciousness. Perhaps it is not the temple that is important, but the devotion in your heart. Who knows if the tradition of your morning program will still be around in the next 50 years. The new preaching of the Krishna consciousness is through the World Wide Web. Computers have taken over the world, and just by sitting in your room, you can reach the whole world and give them Krishna. Devotees who seem to be doing nothing in your ISKCON temples are busy preaching to millions every day on the internet. I had the great fortune to work in your Back to Godhead magazine, which has now gone online to the internet, selling thousands of your books online. Last year, I had the great fortune to preach in the Heart of the Beast in New York City, Union Square. Every day, we sat and chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 6 hours a day to the millions of New Yorkers that saw us sitting there. They took your Bhagavad Gitas and chanted with us. Your Guru Maharaj told you, whatever you do, print books. When I leave, there will be fire in the ma. This instruction I have taken to my heart. Your books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. No matter what happens, people will hear of Krishna through your books. I wasn't born in 1965. I was born in 1978. My dad told me when I was born in a Brahmin family in the Bharadwaj Gotra, the same as Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and I also received the birth name Rupa, and was given the initiated name Rupa Manjari. When you were on the Jaladutta 50 years ago today, I did not know where I was. I wasn't born, but my mother and my father were alive. In 1970, you came to London to Berry Place, where my parents and my aunt had the great fortune to see you and talk to you. I cannot imagine what ISKCON was like in 1970. My father said he was just a young man, and you were looking at him like he was a young man, and told me he talked to you in Hindi and told you he was a Jyotish, and you replied he would be good. My aunt was a teenager young girl serving Radhalandaneshwar in 1970. She told me she talked to you. My aunt is now married and is settled in Orlando, close to your Alachua temple, with the rest of my family, which outnumber over 100. My dad told me how in the Rathiatra in 1973 in London, you danced down the procession and sat right in front of the lecture in Trafalgar Square as you addressed thousands of people in the most historic Rathiatra in London. 25 years later, in the mid-90s as a teenager, I had the great fortune to serve Radha Landaneshwara. You once said that Landaneshwara looked exactly like Krishna in the spiritual world, and he is certainly the most beautiful Krishna in London. Every day in their pujari on Harinam along Oxford Street, and then throughout the world, Harinams on the Baltic coast with Indradrumna Swami along the beautiful beaches of Australia, chanting down the magnificent Fifth Avenue. I spent all my 20s in the fire of your Sankirtan movement, I feel myself most fortunate to be able to give my youth to your movement. There is no safer place in the world than chanting your holy name. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kaluna, Stevena, Stevena, Steva Gacha, Muta. It is amazing you alone came on the ship to New York City without any help. 50 years before you arrived in New York City, my great-grandfather had been invited by the King of Baroda in Gujarat to study in Columbia University in 1915. But you went to New York City in 1965 without any help, knowing no one, and started single-handedly the huge movement with millions of followers we see today. America is the richest country in the world, and here we are today sitting in your ISKCON movement in Alachua, Florida, after 50 years with thousands of devotees. Srila Prabhupada, if you'd not come to America 50 years ago, none of us would have known each other. You built a house which the whole world can live in, and I feel so grateful to be part of your ISKCON movement here. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada.
Amarish Prabhu, followed by Radha Govinda Swami.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stai Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Padanta Swamani Jamani Namaste Shri Sati Vidabha Nidhijani Vishat Sashin Madhi Krishna Chadas. So, usually I'm hiding in the kitchen with Kirti Raj, but after Mahatma Prabhu's class yesterday, where he really emphasized that it's so important for Prabhupada disciples to share their realizations, you know, while we're still here, because we're getting diminished all the time, so I try to do it as much as possible. I was in India last year for Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and I shared that I was worried that Prabhupada will become a mythical kind of distant figure, which he wasn't at all. And for those of us who knew him and had time to spend with him, we know how human and what a wonderful personality he was. He had a great sense of humor. He would laugh sometimes where his sides would ache. He would get really mad sometimes. He would be very sad sometimes when his disciples sometimes would leave, and he would be very disappointed and distraught. So he was like, you know, he had a lot of emotions and Bob, and he shared that with all of us. And I'll tell you a little story about that I heard the other day. Was that, or actually I heard it quite a while ago, was that Prabhupada was preaching to some Mayavadis, or some people that were Mayavadi, and there was one man who was really belligerent. And he kept on harassing Prabhupada about, you know, how, you know, about Mayavad and about impersonalism. And Prabhupada would just sit there. He was sitting there and he was listening. And he was getting redder and redder and redder. And he knew that Prabhupada was really mad when his lip would quiver. So he was getting, all of a sudden he slammed his hand down on the table and said, "It's Krishna! It's Krishna!" So, you know, I really put this guy in his place, you know, and Prabhupada was like a warrior, you know, when it came to preaching Krishna consciousness. And, you know, we understand what he did for us, and he created a whole society and, you know, rescued us from our wretched backgrounds, you know, and many of us did come from very wretched backgrounds. So he did a lot, but there's so much that we don't see that's under the surface. I read a story from Pratik Desai Senat the other morning in one of his mailing outs. And it was about how Srila Prabhupada was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he did a lot of translating there. And sometimes he would be up very late at night translating. So one night he was up all night, and the devotees were wondering how much he translated, how many, you know, chapters he finished and whatever. So they went to him and they asked, and he said, I spent the whole night on one word. And they said, one word, you know, how is that? And he said, I have to make it absolutely perfect so people will understand for future generations. So these purports that Srila Prabhupada worked on for years and years were written especially for us and our children and offspring. Many of us have tried to read Bhaktisiddhanta's books, and it just goes right over our heads. So Prabhupada understood that, and he translated the books and the purports so that we could understand Krishna consciousness. And he, you know, was up many, many nights translating, and that's how much he cared about us, and that's how important the books are. So, you know, as we move forward and ISKCON becomes more mature, one thing I'll say is that, as I was saying, I worried that Prabhupada would become some sort of mystical figure in the past. But after hearing the readings from the children and the school here, I can see that he's very much alive in this community. It's a wonderful thing about this community is that this is a Prabhupada-centered community. And we try to keep all of us, somehow or another, Srila Prabhupada alive, and that's being taught to the children. So it's very important that they should know that Srila Prabhupada was a living person. He was with us for, you know, many years and did so much for us. And we have to preserve his tirthas and his writings and his photographs. And there's so many, we have so much opportunity to do that through the archives and other organizations. So Srila Prabhupada will live forever, not only through his books, but also through other media, and we'll try to keep him alive, especially for future generations. It's very important to know that everybody who comes to this movement has a very loving father in Srila Prabhupada. So thank you all for all the service that you do, and you, especially bringing children into this movement, all the services they'll do in the future. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So Radha Govinda Swami, followed by Prabhu Kripa. I don't know if you know, when Prabhupada first came to America, he was not following that schedule of rising in the middle of the night. But he came to realize that if he were to translate his books, which were the main instruction, he would have to change his schedule. So as the story goes, he prayed to Krishna that he could reduce his sleep, be able to get up. And it was never easy. It's not like, I think some of us think that was just his schedule all his life. It wasn't. It was something he had to do to be able to translate the book. So Prabhupada did that austerity for us of rising early in the morning. And that was the only time he could really translate.
Krishna Prasaya Bhutya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pachamini Nirvishesha Sanyavada Kashi Chagrishita Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pani Yandhya Pradhyam Yakri Bhattamaham Vanda Ishi Guru Vinyatam. My dear Srila Prabhupada, somehow or another you've lifted up this wretch, which is a testimony to your glory. Some of the devotees have expressed how when our bodies get older, they're in quite a different state from when we were younger, where we could be raising our arms, jumping and dancing. I remember when I had come, I used to do acrobatics, so I would dance in the back of the temple room doing the Russian troika, putting my leg under one another. And now this body is, I can barely get up off of the floor, getting so much karma that I've been inside from. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, you know that for me it's very, very difficult to get up. And speaking from the devotees, maybe right now I have the advantage of my eyesight being so poor that I can't even really see faces of devotees except for the devotees. So I wrote this song to Yeshua Prabhupada, and I'm going to ask the devotees to please forgive me because it's a little bit of a difficult melody, and my memory capacity, brain capacity is so low, so I may blow it. But please forgive me, devotees. Some of the audience here and patient. It's called Srila Prabhupada Parshada Krishna. That's another thing for some of us when we get older, due to our experiences, our old age, our memories go. I was just thinking about Srila Prabhupada. Being Krishna's representative, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's representative, and giving his empowerment to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, even right up to the end. In the state that Srila Prabhupada's body was, Srila Prabhupada was still dictating. I personally wasn't there, but I did get to see the video. And Srila Prabhupada was so clear in being able to do this. I know for me as an individual, my memory is gone. Well, it was with six pennies. All the verses there, they weren't within the heart. They just went gone. But Srila Prabhupada was translating right up to the end. So Srila Prabhupada, this is your glory. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna gave complete testimony to your glories as his ambassador. 1965, coming from Vrindavan, sailing across the sea, you came here to set us free. Butler, Pennsylvania, then on to New York. Satyadesha Avatar, it started there with your sweet talking, Srila Prabhupada. Parshada Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, ocean of mercy. Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, beloved disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Coming to New York, you spoke to all the people, chanting in Pumpkin Square Park, Harinam, from day to dark, starting a center on 22nd Avenue. You presented Bhagavad Gita, speaking it from Krishna's view, Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, chanting on your tom-tom drum with such divinity. Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, coming to the people with your magnanimity. Gaudiya philosophy going through your world. Gaudiya philosophy going through the world. You're writing books incessantly, crying out with Krishna's call. Disciples taking up the banner, preaching far and wide. Your mercy flowing through them, bringing Krishna's name to every side. Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, giving Krishna consciousness to everyone and all. Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, making no material distinction, whether big or small. Ma mantra on your lips, Kali runs away. A savior of the world you brought in, Lord Sri Krishna's play. Existing this realm, you left your flag of victory to go with Lord Sri Krishna and his beloved Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's ambassador, you came so gloriously. Srila Prabhupada, Parshada Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, please set me free. So, Srila Prabhupada engaged the uncountable people in his service. No matter who we were, what big, small, rich, poor, size, shape, Srila Prabhupada saw us. You saw us, Srila Prabhupada, for who we are, no matter what our own soul, Srila Prabhupada, and with us, as part and parcel of Krishna. And you gave us opportunity to attain the highest gift. For me as an individual, I have made so many mistakes in not being able to appreciate the glories of your devotees. Often enough, I found fault with devotees rather than concentrating on their glorious service. And yet, Srila Prabhupada, no matter who you were, you looked past all of those things and you simply saw us as eternal loving servants of Krishna and gave us that opportunity to be engaged in that way. So I thank you, Srila Prabhupada. I ask you to forgive me, Srila Prabhupada, for any and all of the offenses I've made to you through my service in any way, which way, shape, and form. I want to also reveal to the devotees your glories. I was sent to do a bit of an unusual service on the African continent. It's also in the Middle East. I was sent alone. And there were many times when things were very scary. I wasn't going to Indian people. I was going to African people. And I'm going to tell one story, which attests to your glory, Srila Prabhupada. I was in a situation where, you know, Srila Prabhupada, there were 150 Muslims who were going to Kenya. And I was very frightened for the devotees. You know Srila Prabhupada because you personally gave me courage to protect me. I was actually like this. My heart was like this. And I thought, this is it, I'm going to go down. And I was very frightened. But I thought of Srila Prabhupada, of Adicharan Aravinda, how you hear this, and I pray to you. And held on to your lotus feet. And that fear by your causes my feet turn into a different energy. And you believe or Krishna is speaking to me. And I started chastising those Muslims that were on me. And it was at 9:35 at night. And I said to them, how dare you come to me at this time of night? You should be the master chanting the holy names of Allah. You shouldn't be speaking with me. I'm not your mother, I'm not your sister, I'm not your daughter. They had actually started in with me verbally. And then all of a sudden, out of my mouth came, you're not Muslims, you're a whole bunch of kids. And it came out so loudly, and I looked. Because if anything's going to get a person killed, it's calling Muslim kids. And
Then from there, Srila Prabhupada, you arranged that there was a commotion in the crowd. They sent forth one of the elders, and they were questioning, why do you Hindus worship idols? Why do you? And I prayed for you, Srila Prabhupada, and you gave me the words to answer them. Then at 11:15, three of them came up in my room. One of them grabbed my arm, the other grabbed my arm, and the third one. I was also in a very unusual set of circumstances. You must have thought of me. Put me down this armored hours, and I thought, this is certainly finished. And we walked for 45 minutes, and then we sat, and we were asking, bombarding me with questions. And then, by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, 4:15 in the morning, these three men wanted to become devotees. And they said, this is the perfection of Islam. This is what we've been looking for. So, Srila Prabhupada, you can do anything and everything. You conquered Open Bachelor and Bong, and you can do it. There are so many devotees here who have so much testimony to your glory. And I'm offering a little bit as a spider who's trying to render some of the observers that you've understood. And I thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving me the opportunity and tolerating me for so many years and your service.
While we're waiting for Prabhu to do the next eulogy, could we have all the women just move a little forward, because there's a lot of Matajis out on the deck there that can't actually hear or see actually when the movie comes for the other bar. So everyone just move forward. And then everybody that's outside can come in. See if the men want to come up a little bit maybe. If we're all sitting comfortably, just slide forward.
Prabhupada was going to speak, followed by Mother Vegavati. And then Jitari is going to speak something about Prabhu Kripa.
Hare Krishna. So, you know, we're kind of an expatriate community here, you know, devotees from many temples from all over the world. The devotee who's going to speak next, he was part of a temple community in New Bhadrak Ashram, Denver, Colorado. We used to compete with Los Angeles for book distribution titles, you know. So there's a few devotees here from that community. Radha Damodar and his wife, Mother Rasa, is here. So you were there after I was there. But Prabhupada and I were part of a big family there in Denver for many years, and now we're part of this. I'm part of this family now, but we never forget that. So just wanted to say that it's a wonderful opportunity to see him. I haven't seen him for many years. I appreciate it.
Hare Bol. Thank you. I want to thank all of you as well, especially Srila Prabhupada, for allowing me to come and speak. I try and make it to a temple every John Masmi appearance day, and I find that it's probably the most difficult thing that I do during the entire year, probably also the most exciting and stimulating, because it really reveals the heart. So, I live down in West Palm area. I've been down there for about 15 years. Thank you.
So we were talking Sankirtan stories earlier. We were talking about cowboys privately. I was going to tell a Sankirtan story today. But it's a little bit of a roundabout story. Prabhu Kripadas. When I think of Srila Prabhupada as an archetypal figure in terms of modern society, I think of the Wizard of Oz. And I think of, now you probably all know the story, there's the Tin Man who doesn't have a heart. There's the Straw Man who doesn't have a brain. There's the Lion who doesn't have any courage. So, and then there's the Goddess of Fortune who's going to go back to Godhead Dorothy. Srila Prabhupada is truly the Wizard of Oz in my life. He's giving me a heart. He's giving me a brain. He's giving me a desire to contribute my life for something that possibly, by his mercy, would mean something. And I think he's doing that for all of us, that he's giving us incentive to live, incentive to push forward, incentive to succeed. This is Srila Prabhupada's glory. That he could take the lowest of the low and could engage them in the service of the high. And throughout my devotional career, Srila Prabhupada has reminded me that Krishna consciousness is the highest thing. It's not to be taken cheaply. It's not to be taken easily. It's something that has to give the diamond for. So, myself, I was in the Denver Temple. I joined in 76. I left in 86. And I actually dropped out of college to join the temple. And I was fumbling around trying to find what I was going to do with my life, living a secular life outside the community. And really what came to me is Krishna wanted me to work in information theory, trying to distribute information to the developing nations of the world, computer science, that type of thing. And what I very quickly realized was that that work really transformed itself into mathematics, and it transformed itself into really the core empirical beliefs of the modern day world in the form of different scientific formulas and things of that nature. So I educated myself in quantum physics, and educated myself in theoretical mathematics, and today I own a research company in West Palm Beach area, where we are working what we call random number theory. And the purpose of our work evolved. Obviously, in going on in your devotional service, you evolve. Hopefully, you evolve. And what became a humanitarian effort to really distribute information to the developing world became a proof of the Godhead's existence through the irrefutable accomplishment of mathematics. And what happens when you're trying to prove the existence of God through archaeology or different things, there's a certain amount of subjectivity that's incorporated in that evaluation. I wasn't there to do the carbon dating or some other excuse. So when you take the language of pure mathematics, which is universally accepted, that is irrefutable. So I started working in quantum physics, theoretical mathematics. I started doing absolutely crazily insane things like writing formulas that would describe how particles of light become hydrogen atoms, and very complicated physical things. In that, the concept was to prove that there is no such thing as randomness in the universe, that everything is actually of a structure. So my work was at different times funded and not funded, and I'm a little bit like Shankha, where I would receive the backhand of my spiritual master repeatedly, beating me to the dust. So in 2000, I had lost my research center. I had a very nice research center. I had several hundred people working for me around the world. I had people that, a fellow that actually worked at the Einstein Lab in Princeton working with me. I had, if you ever saw the movie The Beautiful Minds, Mr. Nash, his teacher was working with us, a number of other scientists around the world, all ultimately working support Krishna consciousness to prove that there's no randomness in the universe. So I had received some large grants and quite a bit of funding and had a very nice facility, and Krishna took it away from me in one day and put me out on the street with absolutely nowhere to go, no money, no car, suitcase. You're broke. This is just after I've received a $200 million grant. So I lost the grant. Had everything taken away. So Krishna can give, he can take away. He showed that to me in a royal way. So I was, and here comes the Sankirtan story, and this is about Srila Prabhupada's ability as a universal preacher to unite people around the world to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness. I had one fellow that had invested in my research business. His name was William Ice. He's a born-again Baptist Christian. And we were very close friends, and he decided that, well, what we need to do is we need to bring you up here to North Dakota and to Gillette, Wyoming, and introduce you to the Christian community up here. And what we're going to do is we're going to have you lecture in the Christian churches, born-again evangelical churches, about your discovery, how there's no randomness in the universe. All right. So we would go up there, I would go up there, and I would sit at a, they would have me in on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and they'd bring the congregation with me, about this many people in the room, and I'd start talking about how particles of light have a pattern in them, and that that pattern is the universal pattern that defines everything within creation. And the concept is very simple. If you're going to build a house, you're going to create a blueprint. So what is the blueprint? Well, the blueprint happens to be the Star of David. If we look at it in a two-dimensional angle, it's a six-sided Star of David. And that Star of David is the yantra of creation in Hindu theology. It is also in Judaism, the same model is there. So Srila Prabhupada had me preaching about the commonality of personalism in born-again Christian churches. And these people started giving me watch meat to the tunes of several millions of dollars. They would be stepping in line, $10,000 checks, $30,000 checks, here's $100,000 checks, and I'd go to the pastors, we're all best friends. In fact, I've got as many Christian, born-again Christian guys on my cell phone as I do devotees. So I was pretty ecstatic. So they've actually funded this research. And we are, the interesting thing about this research is because when you start with the concept that there's a big bang and randomness, what happens is you have a limitation or boundary on how far your theory can take you. But if you say, no, it's non-random, it expands the boundary, and therefore you have conclusion that you can reach this outside the limits of modern science. So we actually have come up with a mathematical proof. We're actually, I was trying to finish the proof here just yesterday. Doesn't look like it's going to be finished for a couple of days, but I thought I'd talk about it anyway. Proving that the universe is non-random through mathematics, and simultaneously proving in such a way that it perfectly aligns with the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So a lot of devotees, there's stories of devotees, fifth canto of Bhagavatam, people are like flying out the windows, you can't get this, you know. But the fact is the fifth canto is the canto that will actually mirror perfectly with empirical science and mathematics, all right, and actually establish Krishna conscious theology in the world. And a very large portion of that, of many millions of dollars, has been paid by the born-again Christian community. Yeah, so this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy on myself personally, that I was able to do a lot of the service, still doing the service, praying to continue doing the service. And I want to thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Another regular team? Are you here? Then we'll kind of see how much time we have for the next, if there will be a next.
Hare Krishna. So, Mother Mukhya, I think, was one of the very first to read her offering, and there were two things she said that I could totally relate to. One got a chuckle because, of course, as a manager, she said something like, I have full realization of how Prabhupada brought so many diverse people from cultures and temperaments and abilities. She has to try to figure out how to engage them all in service. But the other thing she mentioned was something about how Brijbasi had said how amazed he was that a simple American devotee had left in a more glorious way his body than any Brijbasi departure he'd ever seen. So I recently lost a dear friend, Mother Kalini. I'm sure many of you have been seeing news of her departure. We had served together for 25 or 30 years in Gitanagari. She was in the temple, I was nearby, but we were friends and working together. So she came to get, she had been away from Gitanagari for several years, but when she knew she was leaving her body, she came back. So Swarga and I heard the news, we got in our car, we drove up there, and we were able to spend like 3 days in association with many, many devotees coming to pay their last respect. So one of the things I did while we were there, I was sitting by her bed, devotees were reading Krishna books, so I also took a turn. And it happened that the chapter I was reading was when Lord Brahma came to steal the cows and the cowherd boys. So because his friends and all the little calves had been put into a cave, Krishna was like, now what? I have to do something. And he personally manifested, and it was describing how all the cowherd boys each had their own personality, their own way of dressing, their own mannerisms, their own taste in food. And Krishna himself said it wasn't difficult for him because he's already manifest in everybody's heart. So he also knows each and every one of us, our idiosyncrasies, you know, what makes us angry. And he could duplicate each and every one of us. He's so close. Who could have a more loving friend? So this realization of all the variety that Krishna is manifest as all his parts and parcels, although, of course, he doesn't lose his own personal identity. But those mothers, when their sons and the cows, when their calves came to them, they loved them more because it was Krishna, actually. So I'm just getting appreciation for how many varieties there are of ways to serve Krishna, different personalities to engage in many different ways in serving Krishna. And also because I was thinking so much about Mother Kalini lately, I was remembering on these days when they would try to get her to come out of the kitchen to say something about, just to make an offering to Srila Prabhupada, she would usually just simply stand there and cry. So I was with the ladies, we were making rolling balls and making kachoris, and they asked this serious advanced devotee and that wonderful Mataji, will you speak? No, no. Will you speak? No, no. And they're all so humble, they're all so shy. So I thought, just to mention how there's so many wonderful devotees that won't come here and speak, but nevertheless, in their own lives, they're bringing up children, they're keeping things clean, doing whatever they do, all the varieties, they're all known by Krishna. And with Prabhupada's expertise, we're all engaged. It's not difficult for him to figure out how to engage all these insane varieties of people in Krishna's service. So I just wanted to say that and thank all of you for being here and being Prabhupada's followers. Hare Krishna.
So the way this schedule is working now, Yadavar is going to speak and show his film. Is your wife going to speak also? If she wants, yes. And then if there's time after, normally we start postponing about 10 to 12. So if there's time, we will do more offerings, because I know some devotees are, really want to do offerings. And then we can also organize for this evening. So many of you were not able to call. I apologize. I have to make tough choices, but we can facilitate a program this evening if you want to come. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming to this most wonderful celebration. I want to apologize, first of all, for not releasing our film on the promised date, which was the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's arrival in Boston. We won't be able to make that deadline. Our task is quite enormous. It's been revealed in the past year. And we're really trying to shape this film to be presented to the public at large. And so we're, just like the Sankirtan devotees we heard today, are, you know, using ways and means, even sometimes withholding, you know, information, so that the outsiders will be more favorably disposed. We're doing the same thing with this film. I want to thank the members of the community for their support. You've been, many, many individuals have lent their support, both big and modest help. And if you're inspired after seeing this film, we need further help to finish the film. So please approach me if you feel inspired. I want to also thank some second generation devotees, Krishna Shakti and Lauren. They're on our team. They've spent many, many hours in the past couple of days really fine-tuning this presentation. So this is another testament to the youth really adding their talents to the preaching. Thank you so much. Vishaka Devi, my wife also, she's always supportive. And I was hoping she would say a few words, but no show. Okay, well, maybe afterwards. Let's have the lights, please.